This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا. Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. Alhamdulillah, رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. In the introduction to the khutbah, we mentioned وَخَيْرُ هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. So we want to examine one small, well, none of it is small, one aspect of the guidance of Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, as conveyed in a hadith related by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. فَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ سَبْعَةٌ يَبْعِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي عِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا عِلَّ إِلَّا بِلُّ إِمَامٌ عَادِلٌ وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه لا اله الا الله. So it's related on the authority of Abi Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, there are seven types of people, or seven groups of people, that Allah will shade in the shade of his throne. This narration doesn't mention his throne, but another narration mentions fi dhilli arshihi, in the shade of his throne. On a day there will be no shade except that shade. It's the qiyamah, when the sun is descending over the people's heads and the sweat is rising and rising, and there's no shade except in the shade of Allah's throne. And those people will be shaded thereunder. First, he mentions a just leader. The second, a young person who grows up dedicated to the worship of Allah, mighty and majestic is he. And the third, a man whose heart is attached to the master. And all of these are inclusive of the women, unless there's something to prevent that, something logically or something revealed or stated. And two men, and again, it could be two women, who love each other for the sake of Allah, they come together for his sake and they depart for his sake. And a man who's called by a woman, she possesses great status and great beauty, and she's calling him to do something illicit, and it could be a man calling a woman, and he turns away saying, verily, I fear Allah. And a man who spends in charity and hides it to such an extent that his left hand does not realize what his right hand has spent. And then a man who remembers Allah privately, and again, it could be a woman, and their eyes flood over with tears. So the first is a just leader, Imamun Adi. And that could be any of us. There's a specific intention, and that's the leader of the Ummah, the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen. But in a sense, all of us are leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Kullukum Ra'in. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَةٍ, that all of you are stewards, and a leader is a steward, and each of you are responsible for their wards. So all of the prophets, most of them, at some time in their life, they were shepherds. And they learned to be responsible for lives other than their own lives. So many of us, they were in that position. It could be a wife. She's responsible for her family members. It could be a husband. He's responsible in another sense for his family members. It could be an older sibling who's responsible for their younger siblings. How many older siblings have corrupted their younger brothers and sisters? You see it every day. It's the older brother or sister that introduced the younger brothers and sisters to this or that on the internet. It's the younger brothers and sisters that introduced the older ones, rather, who'd introduce the younger ones to this or that destructive anti-Islamic fad. Kullukum ra'in, imamun adil. So in any position of leadership, in any position where we're responsible for another human being, for their guidance, for their direction, for their protection, we should be just. And anyone who is corrupting someone under their authority, under their influence, is not just. Imam al-Adil, Shabun, Nasha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal. A young person grows up dedicated to the worship of Allah. And these two are related, because it's the young people that provide the energy, that provide the creativity, that have the longevity to serve those in leadership. And this is something our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized. When he left Medina, Ali radiallahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali was a young man when he slept in the Prophet's bed and diverted the Quraysh. Asma was a young lady when she was bringing supplies to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informing him about the movement of the Quraysh. So she was bringing intelligence to him and supplies during the hijrah. She was a young lady, as was her sister Aisha radiallahu anha, May Allah be pleased with both of them. Zayd bin Haritha was a young man when he was given authority over many of the armies during the early days of Islam. And his son, Usama bin Zayd, was a young teenager when he was placed under an army that had Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu under his command. But with the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stayed back. But what did they do? They marched out with the army just to fulfill the Prophet's order and to show respect for the commander, Usama bin Zayd. They marched out of Medina and then they returned to arrange the affairs of the Muslims after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our young people, you should be looking at how you can serve Islam. You should be looking at how you can build a life of worship. You should be planning how you can memorize Quran, how you can study the seerah, how you can learn Arabic. These are the concerns of our young people. How you can be someone responsible. But we have to open the door for them. Many of our institutions suffer because the old people, they're not old at first. They're in their 30s and they hold on to all the positions of responsibility. And wave after wave of young people, they come into the masjid and they're pushed aside, they're marginalized, they're infantilized. And they lose interest and they drift away. And now those people are in their 40s and they're still holding on. And another wave of young people come and they're now in their 50s. They're still holding on. And they don't create any opportunity for the young people to bring their creativity, to bring their energy, to bring their passion, to bring their skills, to bring their intelligence, to bring their knowledge of what's happening in the world more recently. And our institutions suffer as a result. We have to open the doors for our young people. We have to assist them. We have to assist them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not facilitating their corruption. We shouldn't be giving them every device that comes out. And then teaching them what? To waste their time. Because we want an electronic digital babysitter. Instead of committing ourselves. The imam knows. Anyone who's been in a position of leadership in the Muslim community knows. Parent after parent comes. Oh, help me with my son. Help me with my daughter. I ask one question. Unfortunately, I've never had a single Muslim woman raise her hand. You're complaining about your children. How many Muslim soccer moms do we have? How many Muslim women are willing to put their career on the side and take 10 or 15 years to take their children to programs that will preoccupy them with good, that will give them a healthy outlet for the energy that they have and the passion that they have? Be it soccer or karate, which is very healthy, self-defense, help them to gain a sense of confidence, or baseball, or track. How many of us dedicate ourselves to our children in a way that helps to cultivate them? How many of us bring them to the Quran class, bring them to the Sira class? Give up and sacrifice our time for their future. It's a question we should all be asking. And don't wait until the wheels come off. And then we bring them to the masjid when there's a problem that we deem needs fixing. As they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. شَابُ النَّشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ. And the young people have to help the parents. The young people try to be like Ismail, and some narrations Ishaq. Imam Qurtubi has a long discussion on the issue. But when he said, يَا بُنَيْ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْأَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And when Ibrahim said to his son, oh my dear son, not just my son, يَا بُنَيْ, my dear son, my precious son, I've seen in my vision, and the vision of the Prophet is revelation. So it's been revealed to me. I have to sacrifice you. But he took counsel. We take counsel with our children. We don't infantilize them. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this? Let's talk about it. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. He said, oh my father, do what you have to do. How many young people, instead of rebelling against their parents, instead of making the decision difficult for their parents, tell their parents, do what you have to do as a Muslim. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You will find me, if Allah so wills, amongst those who are patient. I can wait. My turn is coming. Young people, teenagers, your turn is coming. Listen to your parents. Obey your parents. Because you know what? Soon enough, you're going to be the parent and your child is going to be sweating you about this, that, and the other. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ وَالرَّجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, it could be a woman, except during certain times. A woman who loves to pray, who loves to be in the masjid, who comes to the masjid to read the Quran. So peace and quiet. The kids have gone to school, the husband's going to work, She goes to the masjid. ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد. One of our Mufassir commentators mentions something very beautiful. He says that ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد. So we can understand that his heart is attached to the masjid, but also his heart is like the lamps. They're suspended. معلق بالمساجد. Their hearts are beautified by the masjid, and they adorn the masjid, and they beautify the masjid like the lights we put up in Ramadan, which we suspend. And adwa mu'allaqatun min saqf al-masjid. The lights that are suspended and beautifying the masjid, those are the hearts of the believers whose hearts are pure and their hearts are beautiful. And so their hearts love the house of Allah. وَرَجُلَانْ تَحَبَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. And two people, literally two men, but as we said, it could be two women. They love each other for Allah's sake. They love each other for Allah's sake. And were not for their common commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the deen of Islam, they could well be enemies. This one is black, this one is white. This one is rich, that one is poor. This one is from the 1%, that one is from the 99%. And so, other were not for Islam, were not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could be enemies. They could be blaming each other for their collective suffering, their respective suffering. But because of their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their commitment to Islam and their love of the deen of Islam, they love each other. And they come together to do something that Allah loves. And they depart and they move on to something that Allah loves. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The love that Allah puts between our hearts is precious, because most of the forces at work in our society today are tearing people apart. They're tearing people apart over economics. They're tearing people apart over politics. They're tearing people apart over culture. They're tearing people apart over myriad things. But what is going to bring people together? People who might ordinarily be amenable to be placed in enmity towards each, in a position of enmity towards each other. But because of Islam, they come together. Black and white, rich and poor, people of all possible positions in life, male and female. Our male and females are being torn apart. And people wonder why it's so difficult to get married, why it's so difficult to stay in relationships. Because the forces at work, the defensive forces that are being orchestrated by shaitan, are very powerful. And they have to be countered with something more powerful. And what's more powerful than shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to build our love on the basis of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we're amenable to have potential relationships, existing relationships, torn apart. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us taysir. May Allah give us, bless us to be successful in our endeavors. The time has expired. So the next khutbah I give will finish the other three, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless us to love each other for His sake. This is a quality and characteristic of this ummah. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. The parable of this community, the believers, and their mutual love for each other, and their mutual mercy for each other, and their mutual emotional bonds that they share is like a single body. So these are the qualities that we need. And these are the qualities we have to share with our society. As a model community, we'll end on this point. People might say, oh, Muslims, we're a small majority. If you read the work of one of our greatest historians, Arnold Toynbee, who did a study of 20-some-odd civilizations, what fostered their rise and what led to their demise? What led to their revival? The revival of civilization, Toynbee posits, is always facilitated by the existence of what he calls a creative minority in that society. As Muslims, we are perfectly positioned to be a creative minority in American society. And so as opposed to being a community that lacks confidence in ourselves, as opposed to being a community that sometimes isolates ourselves, we should be a community that sees ourselves as the source of solutions to many of the problems such as racism, problems such as gender identity, problems such as economic inequality. We have zakat. I know when I was in Oakland, California, two of the wealthier masajid, respecting the ruling that zakat that's collected in a land should be distributed amongst the eligible people of that land, unless there's no one eligible. We created a program in less than 2 years, I'm estimating. We distributed over $300,000 of this zakat to poor Muslims in Oakland, California. What do you think this does to the hearts of the believers? And what model does this represent for a society that increasingly ignores its poor? Brothers and sisters, we are positioned to be a creative minority. But to do that, we'll go back to where close to where we began. We have to unleash the power of our youth. There were young people who came up with that program. We have to unleash the power of our young people and provide them with the direction and the guidance that they need to bring the passion that they possess, to bring the intellectual acumen that they possess to the service of our community and to the service of this nation. We will be a model if we're able to do that. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. In the introduction to the khutbah, we mentioned وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. So we want to examine one small, or none of it is small, one aspect of the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as conveyed in a hadith related by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. والرجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. لا إله إلا الله. So it's related on the authority of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the messenger of Allah, peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him, said, there are seven types of people, or seven groups of people, that Allah will shade in the shade of his throne. This narration doesn't mention his throne, but another narration mentions fi dhilli arshihi, in the shade of his throne. On a day there will be no shade except that shade. It's the qiyamah, when the sun is descending over the people's heads and the sweat is rising and rising, and there's no shade except in the shade of Allah's throne. And those people will be shaded thereunder. First he mentions a just leader. The second, a young person who grows up dedicated to the worship of Allah, mighty and majestic is he. And the third, a man whose heart is attached to the master. And all of these are inclusive of the women, unless there's something to prevent that, something logically or something revealed or stated. And two men, and again, it could be two women, who love each other for the sake of Allah, they come together for his sake, and they depart for his sake. And a man who's called by a woman, she possesses great status and great beauty, and she's calling him to do something illicit, and it could be a man calling a woman, and he turns away saying, verily, I fear Allah. And a man who spends in charity and hides it to such an extent that his left hand does not realize what his right hand has spent. And then a man who remembers Allah privately, and again, it could be a woman, and their eyes flood over with tears. So the first is a just leader, Imamun Adi. And that could be any of us. There's a specific intention, and that's the leader of the ummah, the khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen. But in a sense, all of us are leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati, that all of you are stewards, and a leader is a steward, and each of you are responsible for their wards. So all of the prophets, most of them at some time in their life, they were shepherds, and they learned to be responsible for lives other than their own lives. So many of us, they were in that position. It could be a wife, she's responsible for her family members. It could be a husband, he's responsible in another sense for his family members. It could be an older sibling who's responsible for their younger siblings. How many older siblings have corrupted their younger brothers and sisters? You see it every day. It's the older brother or sister that introduced the younger brothers and sisters to this or that on the internet. It's the younger brothers and sisters that introduced the older ones, rather, who'd introduce the younger ones to this or that destructive anti-Islamic fad. Kullukum ra'in, imamun adil. So in any position of leadership, in any position where we're responsible for another human being, for their guidance, for their direction, for their protection, we should be just. And anyone who is corrupting someone under their authority, under their influence, is not just. Imamun Adil, Shabun, نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. A young person grows up dedicated to the worship of Allah. And these two are related because it's the young people that provide the energy, that provide the creativity, that have the longevity to serve those in leadership. And this is something our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized. When he left Medina, Ali radiallahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali was a young man when he slept in the Prophet's bed and diverted the Quraysh. Asma was a young lady when she was bringing supplies to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informing him about the movement of the Quraysh. So she was bringing intelligence to him and supplies during the hijrah. She was a young lady, as was her sister Aisha radiallahu anha, anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Zayd bin Haritha was a young man when he was given authority over many of the armies during the early days of Islam. And his son, Usama bin Zayd, was a young teenager when he was placed under an army that had Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu under his command. But with the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stayed back. But what did they do? They marched out with the army just to fulfill the Prophet's order and to show respect for the commander, Usama bin Zayd. They marched out of Medina and then they returned to arrange the affairs of the Muslims after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our young people, you should be looking at how you can serve Islam. You should be looking at how you can build a life of worship. You should be planning how you can memorize Quran, how you can study the seerah, how you can learn Arabic. These are the concerns of our young people. How you can be someone responsible. But we have to open the door for them. Many of our institutions suffer because the old people, they're not old at first. They're in their 30s and they hold on to all the positions of responsibility. And wave after wave of young people, they come into the masjid and they're pushed aside, they're marginalized, they're infantilized. And they lose interest and they drift away. And now those people are in their 40s and they're still holding on. And another wave of young people come and they're in their 50s. They're still holding on. And they don't create any opportunity for the young people to bring their creativity, to bring their energy, to bring their passion, to bring their skills, to bring their intelligence, to bring their knowledge of what's happening in the world more recently. And our institutions suffer as a result. We have to open the doors for our young people. We have to assist them. We have to assist them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not facilitating their corruption. We shouldn't be giving them every device that comes out. And then teaching them what? To waste their time. Because we want an electronic digital babysitter. Instead of committing ourselves. The imam knows, anyone who's been in a position of leadership in the Muslim community knows, parent after parent comes. Oh, help me with my son, help me with my daughter. I ask one question. Unfortunately, I've never had a single Muslim woman raise her hand. You're complaining about your children. How many Muslim soccer moms do we have? How many Muslim women are willing to put their career on the side and take 10 or 15 years to take their children to programs that will preoccupy them with good, that will give them a healthy outlet for the energy that they have and the passion that they have? Be it soccer or karate, which is very healthy, self-defense, help them to gain a sense of confidence, or baseball, or track. How many of us dedicate ourselves to our children? in a way that helps to cultivate them. How many of us bring them to the Quran class? Bring them to the Sirah class. Give up and sacrifice our time for their future. It's a question we should all be asking. And don't wait until the wheels come off. And then we bring them to the masjid when there's a problem that we deem needs fixing. As they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ. And the young people have to help the parents. The young people try to be like Ismail, and some narrations Ishaq. Imam Qurtubi has a long discussion on the issue. But when he said, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْأَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And when Ibrahim said to his son, oh my dear son, not just my son, يَا بُنَيَّ, my dear son, my precious son, I've seen in my vision, and the vision of the Prophet is revelation. So it's been revealed to me. I have to sacrifice you. But he took counsel. We take counsel with our children. We don't infantilize them. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this? Let's talk about it. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. He said, oh my father, do what you have to do. How many young people, instead of rebelling against their parents, instead of making the decision difficult for their parents, tell their parents, do what you have to do as a Muslim. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me, if Allah so wills, amongst those who are patient. I can wait. My turn is coming. Young people, teenagers, your turn is coming. Listen to your parents. Obey your parents. Because you know what? Soon enough, you're going to be the parent and your child is going to be sweating you about this, that, and the other. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ وَالرَّجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And a man whose heart is attached to the masjid, it could be a woman, except during certain times. A woman who loves to pray, who loves to be in the masjid, who comes to the masjid to read the Quran. So peace and quiet. The kids have gone to school, the husband's going to work, she goes to the masjid. وَرَجُلًا قَلْبُهُ مَعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. One of our Mufassir commentators mentions something very beautiful. He says that وَالرَّجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مَعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. So we can understand that his heart is attached to the masjid, but also his heart is like the lamps. They're suspended, مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. Their hearts are beautified by the masjid, and they adorn the masjid, and they beautify the masjid, like the lights we put up in Ramadan, which we suspend. الأضواء معلقة من سقف المسجد. The lights that are suspended and beautifying the masjid, those are the hearts of the believers whose hearts are pure, and their hearts are beautiful. And so their hearts love the house of Allah. وَرَجُلَانْ تَحَبَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. And two people, literally two men, but as we said, it could be two women. They love each other for Allah's sake. They love each other for Allah's sake. And were not for their common commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the deen of Islam, they could well be enemies. This one is black, this one is white. This one is rich, that one is poor. This one is from the 1%, that one is from the 99%. And so, other were it not for Islam, were it not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could be enemies. They could be blaming each other for their respective suffering. But because of their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their commitment to Islam and their love of the deen of Islam, they love each other. And they come together to do something that Allah loves. And they depart and they move on to something that Allah loves. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The love that Allah puts between our hearts is precious. Because most of the forces at work in our society today are tearing people apart. They're tearing people apart over economics. They're tearing people apart over politics. They're tearing people apart over culture. They're tearing people apart over myriad things. But what is going to bring people together? People who might ordinarily be amenable to be placed in enmity towards each, in a position of enmity towards each other. But because of Islam, they come together. Black and white, rich and poor, people of all possible positions in life, male and female. Our male and females are being torn apart. And people wonder why it's so difficult to get married, why it's so difficult to stay in relationships. Because the forces at work, the defensive forces that are being orchestrated by Shaitan, are very powerful. And they have to be countered with something more powerful. And what's more powerful than Shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to build our love on the basis of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we're amenable to have potential relationships, existing relationships, torn apart. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us taysir. May Allah give us, bless us to be successful in our endeavors. The time has expired. So the next khutbah I give will finish the other three, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless us to love each other for His sake. This is a quality and characteristic of this ummah. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. The parable of this community, the believers, in their mutual love for each other, in their mutual mercy for each other, and their mutual, the mutual emotional bonds that they share is like a single body. So these are the qualities that we need. And these are the qualities we have to share with our society. As a model community, we'll end on this point. People might say, oh, Muslims, we're a small majority. If you read the work of one of our greatest historians, Arnold Toynbee, who did a study of 20-some-odd civilizations, what fostered their rise and what led to their demise? What led to their revival? The revival of civilization, Toynbee posits, is always facilitated by the existence of what he calls a creative minority in that society. As Muslims, we are perfectly positioned to be a creative minority in American society. And so as opposed to being a community that lacks confidence in ourselves, as opposed to being a community that sometimes isolates ourselves, we should be a community that sees ourselves as the source of solutions to many of the problems such as racism, problems such as gender identity, problems such as economic inequality. We have zakat. I know when I was in Oakland, California, two of the wealthier masajid, respecting the ruling that zakat that's collected in a land should be distributed amongst the eligible people of that land. Unless there's no one eligible. We created a program in less than 2 years, I'm estimating. We distributed over $300,000 of this zakat to poor Muslims in Oakland, California. What do you think this does to the hearts of the believers? And what model does this represent for a society that increasingly ignores its poor? Brothers and sisters, we are positioned to be a creative minority. But to do that, we'll go back to where close to where we began. We have to unleash the power of our youth. There were young people who came up with that program. We have to unleash the power of our young people and provide them with the direction and the guidance that they need to bring the passion that they possess, to bring the intellectual acumen that they possess to the service of our community and to the service of this nation. We will be a model if we're able to do that.